Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, 3rd of February, 2016. Now, to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Arne Frank. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please be very welcome to AAK's quarterly financial conf call. Today, we have our Q4 numbers and the 2015 year-end numbers. I'm sitting here in Malmö together with our CFO, Fredrik Nilsson, who many of you know very well. The agenda we are proposing for today follow our traditional format. We will, Fredrik and I, walk you through various parts of our Q4 numbers, comment year-end very shortly. We will go into some more detailed business area information and general business trend information. We will comment on our company program action, and then I suspect there will be relatively ample time, if not ample time, for Q&A. So same procedure as last time. Ladies and gentlemen, page three, we are a little bit happy, a little bit proud, but of course, not satisfied to present another strong quarterly result. We are happy to announce a 6% volume growth despite some challenging market conditions. Out of this, we can see we have 1% organic growth. We show an 8% sales increase. Our EBIT is up 13% to 388. Our EBIT per kilo shows also good evolution. Our earnings per share shows some unusual patterns, and Fredrik will explain that. And our net debt is developing very nicely. Page four, year-end numbers. That means that we landed the year with an 8% volume growth, 3% organic growth. And given AAK's in 2015 geographical footprint, 3% no doubt means that we are gaining market shares further. Our sales reached 20.1 billion Swedish krona, first time ever we are north of 20 billion, a 13% evolution. EBIT reached 1,411, extremely close, we believe, to your expectations, +14%. EBIT per kilo, good development. Earnings per share, +5%, and a good development of the net debt. In relation to this, our board is proposing a dividend increase by 1 Swedish krona from 6.75 to 7.75. That's the board proposal for the general assembly later on in the spring. That's the high-level conclusions. Now, I will, as always, pass the microphone to Fredrik, who will walk you through some more detailed numbers, and then I will be back with the more business aspects of our activities. Please, Fredrik.
Thank you, Arne. First of all, the good trend from the previous quarter in 2015 continued during the fourth quarter. So, as Arne said, operating profit for the quarter reached 388, an improvement of 13% compared to last year. The quarter included acquisition costs, and that's adjusted in the 388 of 15 million. And acquisition costs are related to Camanio and TLC. Last year, we had positive non-recurring items, and that was related to the sale of Binol. Positive currency translation in the quarter amounted to 22 million. If we look at the operating profit at fixed FX and adjusted for acquisition costs and non-recurring items, they improved by 7%. And as Arne said, operating profit per kilo reached 0.79, up 7%. And that's mainly due to strong improvement in Food Ingredients, but also in Technical Products and Feed. Arne asked me to comment upon earnings per share, which was -21% in the quarter. The reason here is that we get more earnings in the fourth quarter in countries with high tax rates. And then last year, we had a positive one-off due to the sale of Binol was tax exempt. So that's the reason why EPS was -21% in the quarter. Looking at the business areas, Food Ingredients had a good quarter, an improvement of 17% and reached 257. Good organic growth in Food Ingredients of 2% in the quarter, but I will say with a mixed picture between the segments. Bakery had a challenging quarter in Europe, while US continued to show good organic growth. Dairy, very strong quarter, double-digit volume growth, despite low price on milk fat. Infant nutrition continued to grow organically. Both Aquilino and the infant business had a good growth. Food service, a stable quarter. Chocolate and confectionery fats, an improvement of 5%, despite we see continued negative influences from the situation in Russia. There is a pressure on low-end products, and we have added resources both in sales and customer innovation. Technical products and feed, good improvement of 28% and reached 32 million in the quarter. And I will say it's mainly our TAFAC business that had a very good quarter. If we then turn to page 6 and looking at the trends, you can see on the volume chart that the nice volume trend continued during the quarter and with a volume growth of 6% and organically 1. Operating profit, it was again a record high and it was actually our best quarter ever, plus 13%. And operating profit per kilo continued to improve and we are now not too far away from the 0.8 that we have talked about in the past. If we then move to page 7 and look at the cash flow, I will say this was a strong cash flow for the quarter. And if we go a little bit into the details, you will find an EBITDA improvement of 31 million in the quarter. Then you can see that paid interest is slightly higher than last year. It's up 8 million SEK. And the reason here is that the group borrowings in high interest rate countries have increased due to recent acquisitions and ongoing greenfield projects. So please bear that in mind for 2016. Our financial costs will be slightly higher in 16 than what you have seen in 2015. Paid tax is slightly lower, but it's a timing issue. And if you look at the underlying tax rate, we have given you a guidance of 26 to 28. And the reason why we have increased it a little bit from 26 to 27 in the past to 26 to 28 is that we are seeing a little bit more of earnings coming from countries with high tax rates. We had a very strong cash flow from working capital in the quarter, 282 million. And here we see the effect of the lower raw material prices a little bit earlier. I commented upon at the Capital Market Day and also after the Q3 report that we could get a positive cash flow from lower raw material prices in either late Q4 or early Q1 16. Now we got them in Q4. So please have that in mind when you look at the cash flow for 16. And you can also look at the cash flow from operating activities, including changes in working capital, was really strong with 661 million in the quarter versus 495
in Q4 2014. And also, if we look at the full year, we have $1,736,000,000 in cash flow from operating activities versus $692,000,000 in 2014. So a really good job done here with our working capital and the cash flow. Cash flow from investments is, of course, higher. It's -$549,000 in the quarter, but it's also including payments of the 51% in Kamani. And last year, we have it to go back and look upon, and that's including the payment from Binol. So that's important to have in mind when you compare the -$549,000 versus the -$47,000. If we then look at page 8 and working capital days, you can see that we have improved with 3 days, and the value of 3 days improvement is around $170,000,000 SEK, and it's mainly due to improved turnover in inventory. Looking at the raw material prices on page 9, you will see that we have a quite stable price development during the fourth quarter. And as I said, please have in mind that we got the effect from lower raw material prices already now late Q4 instead of early Q1 16. Page 10, return on capital employed. I must say that I'm rather happy about the ROCE development in 2015. It was a strong profit improvement during the year. We have managed to reduce the working capital, and in the same time, we have kept good management of our CapEx project. So by that, I will now hand over the microphone to you, Arne.
Thank you, Fredrik. So, ladies and gentlemen, page 11. How is the business practically doing? Again, some kind of snapshot of trends in our main geographical regions, divided over our different business areas. So, in the Nordic countries, we are gaining market shares, no doubt, with our value propositions. Health, as you know, no trans, low SAT, reduced cost, and customer co-development. We are gaining market shares here very, very strongly. The TPF business had a good quarter, and it's particularly our technical fatty acid business, the small non-food part, where the candle industry, we are seeing big, big progress here, and it looks promising going forward too. Western Europe, with the strongholds being U.K., Netherlands, Belgium, to some degree Germany, to some degree Italy, and to smaller degrees France and Spain. Very good development both in Food Ingredients and in CCF. And it's again our value proposition, our value propositions both on the health side but also the cost side and how we go about the business with customer co-development. U.K. is a special column here in this overview, and here we are mainly in the Food Ingredients business, and we are keeping our positions and so forth after, as you know, long periods of struggling here, but it's looking better and better. U.S., very good development on FI again. The challenge is, of course, what we call CIS here, so it's mainly Russia and Ukraine, which many of you know are quite CCF and particularly CB intensive businesses. And Ukraine is now leveling out on a very low level, and Russia is doing surprisingly well given the circumstances. But all in all, we see red arrows, and those red arrows are to some degree spilling over to neighboring Central Eastern European countries who have previously had a lot of food export to particularly Russia. On the other hand, Asia looks good. From relatively low levels, we are seeing strong growth across all businesses. And Latin America, mainly the CCF business, are showing some good signs. However, not as good as it always used to be for the last 10 quarters or so. I will be back to that in a moment. Moving on to page 12, some details. FI, so volume growth, an impressive profit growth. Here, we are particularly excited that for the second quarter, I believe, despite record low milk fat prices, our dairy segment, or sometimes we say dairy fat alternatives, are showing double-digit volume growth. And this is a real achievement. And I've said in many circumstances, and I believe at our Capital Market Day, where many of you participated, I believe I said that when we meet 5 and 10 years from now and we look upon AAK, and AAK has developed tremendously, and many businesses in AAK has developed a lot, the part of AAK that in a long perspective could look the most different could be our dairy fat alternatives. So double-digit growth, volume growth, despite record low milk fat prices across the globe. That's quite impressive and encouraging for the future. Infant nutrition and its different segments, good development. Food service, some good development. And FI is now again sniffing on 0.8 Swedish krona in terms of EBIT per kilo. And let me please come back to that. Page 13, just an overview, so we can see strong growth in the opportunistic commodity segment, which is a very small part of all of FI. More important, organic growth every quarter in specialty and semi-specialty, despite a not truly global footprint, which we, as you know, are working hard on. EBIT per kilo, sniffing 0.8. And some of you participated in our Q2 conf call 6 months ago. And then Fredrik and I had a small debate on the future evolution on CCF and FI. And then you remember, some of you, that in the Q3 conf call 3 months ago, young Mr. Nilsson came back, as it happens very frequently, and underlined that he was right in the predictions. We had a good Q3. I was believing in that too, but Fredrik said that it was CCF who would carry the Q3, and I talked for FI, and Fredrik was right. However, this quarter, the old man is coming back, and please notice FI is sniffing on 0.8, and that shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone. After 10 quarters of 10, 20, 30, I think we had 40% profit growth in CCF. That CCF, with a difficult Russia-Ukraine situation, a difficult economy in Brazil, and a few other things, that CCF should have a quarter, after all those enormous, fantastic quarters, that was more a normal quarter or a modest quarter. I'm a little bit surprised. That could be a surprise to anyone. I have in these calls been talking about good long-term, mid-term development on CCF, but it cannot be 30% every quarter. I believe FI will continue to have a good development. I believe sooner or later we are breaking the 0.8 bar. And where do we go from that? Some of you will ask, and we don't know, but we know it's north. And CCF will have a good development, but it will not be the plus 40% per quarter or, and similar. But it will be good, and it might even be a little bit better than in this quarter. In this quarter, we saw 5% profit growth, and it was driven by a strong Q4 2014, and it was driven a little bit, as I mentioned, Russia-Ukraine, and maybe some of our customers were sitting with very high inventories, and hence a bit reduced activity in December. But we believe CCF will be back with exceptional performance, however not the meteoric performance that we have seen in many of the last 10 quarters. On CCF, we should perhaps also take a look on page 16, and you can see the EBIT per kilo, and you can put this quarter in a historical performance, and we can also see here that since Q2 2013 there's been fantastic quarter to quarter evolution, and we will be on a good trend here going forward, and things look good. I've also commented previously on the high cocoa prices, and I've commented that many of our customers, and some of this is public, and many of you know the packed food sector well, have conducted price increases of 10-12% and similar. In tough economies, and where a big part of the consumers are low income takers, there is a volume negative price elasticity. Despite that, we continue to grow the business, we continue to grow the segment, we increase our market shares, but this is a segment that is challenged by very, very high cocoa butter prices that you see on page 17. And that's good for AAK, but again, when the prices are too high, our customers are forced to do relatively material price increases. And if the consumers are uncertain for the future in the first place, it has an effect. This is not a dramatic effect, but it should not be ignored. A good cocoa price is good for AAK, but an optimum price for AAK where consumers can afford to consume more would be a little bit lower than the price we see today. If we continue on CCF, I would also like to talk our Tropicow launch. Those of you who were at the Capital Market Day know what this is. All of you were not there. So this was the biggest product launch in our segment, we believe, since many, many years. It's about tropical chocolate. It's about kill the bloom, keep the sensory. Many of you can see on internet, etc., lots of claims on tropical chocolate. And tropical chocolate is, of course, about form stability. But as a matter of fact, chocolate is supposed to melt at 37.1 degree. If it didn't, it wouldn't be chocolate. It would be hard caramels with chocolate taste. And to the best of our knowledge, nearly all, if not all, of the different publications you can see is about form stability. And form stability is important. Some of those solutions are really good. On the other hand, one can achieve a lot on form stability with other means. Now, the big challenge on tropical chocolate is bloom, which many of you would know is this grayish surface that you sometimes can see on chocolate. And this grayish surface, one might believe, is something that appears after 6 months, 12 months, after a long period of time. But if the chocolate is exposed in higher temperatures, the bloom appears after already 2, 3, maximum 4 days. So to have this game-changing innovation in the field of bloom, for those who are really into the chocolate sector, they know this is unique. And on one hand, before some of you start to increase your expectations on 2016, I want to underline, as I've done many times before in these calls, that we work with very long sales cycles between the customer co-development project, the evaluation, the shelf life tests, the marketing decisions, the production ramp-up, and so forth. It can be long periods. So that's something I want to underline again. We can have sales cycles of 12 to 36 months. But on the other hand, we are very proud to talk about Tropicao. We got an award for this product at the largest food exposition in the world, the FIE, that was in Paris, France, during Q4. And we can say that the interest from all our large customers and many other customers too for this product has been very high. So that's CCF. Moving on to TPF, our smallest business area, a good quarter and driven by our commercial success that we will see how we can develop also more internationally on the candle side. So, and we expect this small business area to continue to have not a plus 28% profit increase, absolutely not, but a continued good development. Our action program is moving on very nicely in all its elements, and you can see our focus on innovation, and we continue to invest in innovation. And our efforts within sales, customer co-development, and execution are also developing very nicely. Another example of our innovation you find on page 22, so I'm jumping from 19 to 22, and then I will go back to 20 again. In the bakery segment, also at FI Europe, FIE, we won another award, and that was for best bakery product. So we regret if we do not sound as humble as we should do, but we are proud of developing some really innovative products that we believe will help our commercial efforts. Another game-changing move that we believe a lot in over the mid and long term is on page 20. A part of the operations of TLC and Beevor, we succeeded to get in contact with here, and we have reached a management agreement with the trustee of this situation of B&L Food Group. And this was a small startup in the field of nutrition, in the field of the very exciting segment of egg phospholipids, which is a very, very exciting way to produce these special lipids. and there are good studies on the benefits of the phospholipids, and some of these exist today produced from tuna. But from a sustainability point of view, egg phospholipids from egg yolk has some dramatic advantages, as you all quickly can see. So this has started well, and we see a lot of potential applications for this within our Aconino range and other nutritional products. So this is another key initiative during the fourth quarter. End of third quarter, we signed a deal with Kamani in India. Page 23 was disclosed earlier, but we now have our first quarter with Kamani. I was there personally again here in mid-January, and it has started well, and it's a high-quality organization with high-quality customers, and the business is operated in the same philosophy as AAK, with customer co-development and a strong technical focus. And I can say, even if only 51% of AAK Kamani is under our direct control, this business is already very well integrated in AAK. And also an initiative in the fourth quarter was the AAK Miyoshi Japan initiative, which is now operational since early January, and we are very optimistic about that also, again, in the mid and the long term. So, ladies and gentlemen, the concluding remarks, I believe they are an exact cut and paste of previous concluding remarks since now quite a number of quarters, if not more. And that is based on our value propositions about health, no trans, low sat, and that our solutions are very often much more cost-effective than the ones we would replace, and our customer co-development, our customer product co-development and solutions approach. We remain prudently optimistic for the future, and we believe FI will continue to develop nicely. We believe CCF will continue to develop nicely, and those are the two main drivers of our future development and future performance. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that concludes our presentation, and we now have quite some time for Q&A, if so desired.
Thank you, sir. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star 1 if you wish to ask a question on the phone line. Your first question comes to the line of Casper Blom. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Three questions, Fredrik and Arne, if I may. First, with regards to CCF, I noticed on your slides and also in the in an announcement, you mentioned that there is competitive pressure in the low-end part of the CCF market. Could you maybe dive a bit deeper into this? Is this something that has been accelerating? Who is doing the competitive pressure? And is it basically a price war that that we're starting to see? That's my first question, please.
Okay, Kasper, thank you for that. Yes, I should have commented, but it was probably a Freudian slip I didn't. You have seen this comment about competitive pressure on the low-end semi-speciality in CCF since at least 1 year, if not two. And the reason we had it in the text, but I didn't even comment upon it, is that it has not gotten worse. It has not accelerated. but it's clearly that there are some low-end semi-speciality products that are basically based upon one raw material, and some vertically integrated players look upon it as a commodity business. And this has been a challenge for us since between 4 and 8 quarters, and it's a part of our life, but it has not accelerated.
Okay, that's good to hear. A bit of comfort there. Secondly, also on CCF, you mentioned these organizational investments that you are doing. Should we expect the level, so to say, that we're seeing here in Q4 to continue? Or how should we think about this going forward? That's my second question, please.
You know, we are making our company truly global. You know, we are switching our company from nearly 70% in the old world, Northwest Europe, and 30% in the rest of the world, to basically the inverse, growing in Northern and Western Europe, but shrinking at the same time to 30% of our business, building up in China, in Turkey, in India, in Middle East, in South America, and so forth. So, but we believe those investments is something that will not be any dramatic changes to the previous levels.
Okay, understood. Then just one last thing from my side in food ingredients. 1% organic growth in speciality and semi-speciality here in the quarter, and a comment about bakery having some tough times in Europe. Could you maybe elaborate a bit about what's going on in the bakery business in Europe? Because I assume that's what is pulling down organic growth in speciality and semi-speciality. Thanks.
Yeah, because here we have DFA that had double-digit growth. We had food service that grew some. We had infant nutrition that grew some. So you're right, bakery was not a pretty story in Europe, but also elsewhere. I would say bakery is amongst the least complicated semi-speciality products. So when competition are volume-oriented, it's a field where there can be price pressure to a price competition to a degree we do not want to participate in. Is this something that will continue? We believe it will to some degree continue, but we believe we will improve also our bakery business.
Understood. Thanks a lot for taking my questions.
Thank you, Kasper.
Your next question comes to the line of Patrick Setterberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. So a couple of questions from my side as well. I just want to follow up something we discussed on with Kasper as well, is these investments you make within the CCF division by adding more resources and sales and customer innovation. Could you quantify what kind of investments we're talking about here in the fourth quarter? That is my first question.
Thank you, Patrick. Yes, we could quantify, but that would be interesting information for some, but existing shareholders would suffer because the people who would be most interested in that information would be our competitors. But we're building a global company, as you know, and as I've said before, we do not have any single customer who is super dominant, but our 50 biggest customers is a big part of our business. They are an even bigger part of our profit, and they grow more than the rest. And it's strategically important and expected from those customers that we can follow them around the world. And the semi-speciality products, as you also know, they can only travel certain distances, then the logistic cost becomes too high. And now when we have manufacturing in Turkey and in India and in China and in Brazil, we need to build out the sales and the customer co-development organizations, and we are doing so, but we do not believe it is something you need to put in your models that will change anything material in any kind of mid or long-term perspective.
Okay, just a follow-up to that one. The salespeople that you're perhaps investing in for the Chinese market, is that happening now already, you could say, 6 to 9 months ahead of when the factory is going to be ready?
Yes, sir, of course. We, as I mentioned, we have sales cycles of 12 to 36 months. So if we want to be ready with customers when the factory is ready, the salespeople better be there long time before.
Very good. My second question, also related to the CCF division, is this continuously improvement in the EBIT you see for the division. What is that going to be? What is the main parameter? Is it going to be volume driven or is it going to be price mix driven?
On CCF or FI?
CCF, please.
On CCF, we expect volume growth. We believe in our CBE business. Then comes Tropicow later on. It's already here, but it won't be visible in the numbers for a number of quarters yet. Then we would have some underlying business on the semi-speciality too, but continued pressure on the low end. So the biggest swing factor is probably the mix. If you're looking for one more very important factor, some growth and mix.
Okay, thank you. And my last question is, I just have to ask about this very strong result you see for technical fatty acids. Was there any particular order you saw in the fourth quarter which was driving up the result, or is there something we could hope for going forward?
I believe we will see a continued good development, but not at this magnitude. We management is doing a number of good things, and the teams in that organization are working hard on a number of promising and exciting things, and they will continue to be successful. But just like I've said in the past, when CCF show plus 28% quarter after quarter or similar kind of numbers, I always say it cannot continue like that every quarter. If you have one or two quarters in between that are a bit lower, it's still a very good development. And I say the same here. And then I just want to add that our FI business is two-thirds of AAK and will continue to perform.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Your next question comes to the line of James Target. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's James Target here from Berenberg. Just a couple of questions, both really focused on EBIT per kilo. Just on food ingredients, obviously actually a pretty good development in EBIT per kilo in the fourth quarter, and I appreciate FX was part of that. But I was expecting, I guess, more dilution that you'd flagged from the Kamani acquisition. So I just wonder, you know, if that dilution was less than expected or should step up in the first half of 2016. Then on the CCF EBIT per kilo, obviously clearly weren't expecting the sort of level of increase we've had over the last few quarters, but it was a sharp drop on the previous couple of quarters, and I just wondered what extent was that mix, as you just sort of mentioned, versus kind of lower ongoing contract pricing or just the disruption in the CIS. And then actually just on both of those two divisions, just regarding FX for 2016, you know, are you expecting any impact currently from FX on EBIT per kilo? Thank you.
So CCF was, I mean, +5% when we have been doing +18% and +28% and +38%, and what kind of numbers you have in a longer perspective, it's still a very good performance, and it will continue to develop nicely. I would say it is mainly mix, because some of the more high-margin products are high in the mix in the geographical areas that struggled a little bit. I'm not here to make any forward-looking statements specific on the current Q1 we are in, that we have never done before, so we shouldn't do that today either. But those, I remember one journalist when we had a 38% growth, and when I said we cannot have 38% growth next quarter, and this journalist was very surprised how I could say something else. I mean, how do I argue confronted with such? I don't know. And then FI and the dilutive effect on Kamani. Kamani looks promising. Kamani is, after all, a relatively small part of AAK, but Kamani is a well-managed business, well-positioned, and in a market that is showing some underlying growth. And Kamani is well into semi-specialty and even some high-end semi-specialty. So far, we are happy with Kamani.
Well, I think I thought the guidance was that it's not actually making any money at the moment.
Going a little bit better than that, maybe.
Okay, thank you.
FX, I pass to Fredrik.
Yes, James. Now, I will say, if all currencies will stay where they are currently, we don't expect any material FX effect during 2016, either plus or minus.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Your next question comes to the line of Kari Rinta. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Kari Rinta, Handelsbanken. Maybe a follow-up on the Kamani question on the EBIT per kilo. I guess, since especially in food ingredients, that you mentioned the 0.8 level, the magic level, and that in the fourth quarter you were sniffing that level again. So I guess that sort of implicitly says that you are not too worried about the dilution impact of the greenfield plants when they start producing in Brazil and China either, or is this a sort of a incorrect conclusion of that 0.8 statement?
I mean, the statement is a high level statement trying to net in all both positive and neutral and negative drivers, so you should see that as a global net-net comment, but not as a forward-looking statement. But we are prudently optimistic, and we have, of course, some challenges that we try to manage as professionally as we can, and you mentioned one or two of them, and we are following our plans concerning that.
And can you remind us on the when exactly do you expect to start producing in Brazil and China, and what is the sort of, you have already talked about that the sales cycle is long, but when would you expect to be producing exactly the mix that you want on those new plants?
Okay, that was two questions. When do we start producing, and when do we start producing the mix we want?
Yeah, that was two questions.
Fully the mix we want, we are not doing anywhere in AAK yet. We are improving the mix all the time, and we continue to improve. Now, Brazil, you will see some numbers start kicking in here, small numbers, end of Q1, beginning Q2, and so forth. But small numbers, nothing dramatic in your model compared to roughly 2 million metric ton per annum. And China will in the same way start to ramp up a little bit later in the year. But it's not something that changes anything dramatically, and it's totally built into our CapEx decisions, and it's totally built into the budgets we operate with internally.
All right. Thank you.
And I can also say that the large customers and the local customers, they follow our progress in both those two countries in a good way. China, we follow a lot, and the reporting from China. We are so small in China, and the market is so big, and the semi-speciality business is just developing since a few years. Brazil, the good news is that our CapEx project is less expensive than planned because the currency is going the wrong way. Then we can read every day on what's going on in Brazil or what people suspect is going on or estimate is going on and so forth. And but we are building these factories for a long-term perspective. And so far, our business in Brazil is still developing nicely based upon production in Uruguay mainly, still developing nicely, but not as nicely as before.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. And no further questions at this time, so please continue.
Okay, so thank you everybody for attending. Thank you everybody for listening, and thank you for your questions. We all appreciate. The team here is available for any of you if you have any further questions and so forth. You know where to find us. And with that, we go back to our customers and our customer co-development project and all our industrial activities here. And we are continuing to work hard for our customers and our shareholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.